Well, let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and read those familiar words, starting with verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let's now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the angels returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. We're told here of two constituencies, two different groups. Often these two groups would have nothing to do with one another. They would be in collision course. And here they meet in a strange place and they hear the most incredible claims men and women can possibly hear. So the first group is the shepherds, the most unsavory group of people in that nation at that time. Not like shepherds, especially Welsh shepherds today, not at all. I've got to say that. Some of you will say, "My father's a shepherd," and you won't listen to the rest of what I've got to say. But at this time, they were like that. And, you know, the Authorized Version says they were abiding. And it says here, living out. In other words, they didn't finish their shift at 5 o'clock. And then they could go home. They abode, they lived, they stayed night and day in the fields. Not like the miners, after work, going home. They were there with men, men with men, and all the unsavory tensions. No women there to quieten down what they have to say. No children. Just a group of men together. No humane influences sweetening their lives and their conversation. Night and day, animals and men. And they had a rotten reputation. The Mishnah, which was the commentary the Jews had on the law of God, it said, never buy from a shepherd. It was probably stolen, you see. They were not allowed within the temple courts, there were courts for Gentiles, but not for shepherds. They were not allowed to give evidence in court, because what they said couldn't be believed. They were exaggerating and lying for their own good. Brutal men, hard men, thieves, inveterate liars, blasphemers, the most irreligious group in the land, like hardened criminals in Pentonville, unrepentant, foul, cruel men. That's one group. Now there was a second group, and they were the angels. And if anyone is considering the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels and the prophecies made about his coming in the Old Testament, then there's no one been born like him. His mother was a virgin. He is conceived, he is begotten by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. None were ever born like Jesus. None ever lived like Jesus. None ever died like Jesus. None ever rose from the dead like Jesus. None ascended to heaven and reigns and is control, all authority in heaven and earth given to him. Only Jesus could make that claim. So here is a supernatural person, and here is a supernatural event. You know how the Bible begins? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't say in the beginning there was nothing. There was always God. It doesn't say in the beginning there was the lump. In the beginning, there was God. We're told again and again in all the media which anti-creationists have in their pockets that in the beginning there was nothing, and then there was a big bang, and then there was everything. Everything came out of nothing. You know, Maria in The Sound of Music, she says, nothing comes from nothing, nothing ever could. And you are asking me to believe that out of nothing came everything. Out of nothing. One huge, dense, tiny atom. But where did that come from? And then it went boom. And there was Leonardo da Vinci, and there was Goethe, and there was Galileo, and there was Rembrandt, and there was Shakespeare, and Bach, and Mozart, and Handel, and Charles Dickens, and Einstein, and Jesus Christ. They all came out of a bang. They all came out of nothing. And you and me, we were there, and boom. Chance out of nothing. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God, a God who shows himself through speaking, through the prophets, and then coming very, very close to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and living amongst us and teaching and showing us what God is like. If you've seen me, you've seen God, Jesus says. And this God, in the beginning, created first the heavens. So he created the angels, first of all. And we know that because in Genesis 3, where man wants to go back to the tree that he's stolen from and eat of the tree of life, he wants to go, and then God puts seraphim with flaming swords to guard, to keep Adam and Eve away from that tree. They were already in existence. In the beginning, God created an innumerable company of angels. And we're so glad of them. They're with us here in this room today. Our Lord Jesus is with us. He's moving amongst us as we gather in his name, and angels here with us. We can't see them. They brought me safely along the M25, and then the motorway coming off at junction 2 and coming along, and all the way to the car park. They brought me through fog all the way. Angels looked after me, as they have through my life until now. Angels, you had that narrow escape in your car. You didn't see the light, and you didn't see there were cars crossing, and oh, what happened? The man got out of the car and said, "It's all right. It's all right. You braked in time. My foot didn't touch the brake," you said. There was an angel that protected you and cared for you. He brought you here safely, that you might hear about this glorious Jesus Christ. Imagine. God said, there are people in Bexley Heath who need to hear this morning about Jesus, and bring them safely. And he gave angels charge over you. You came out of the house and into your car, and you came here, you walked here, and angels protected you. And they've given you some interest in listening to what I've got to say to you. So one day we are told, when all the angels assembled in the morning to have their orders for the day, God pointed at one angel and he said to him, "I want you to take a message from me." Maybe it was Gabriel or Michael, the archangels, that he spoke to. But he says to them, "You know, 9 months ago, how your Lord, the Christ, my son, you know what happened 9 months ago, how he entered the Virgin's womb and was joined to the DNA of a woman. And the male and the female became united in a fetus, an unborn child. And that child has grown and grown and developed all the natural processes of pre-birth development. And now he's been born. And I want you to tell this fact, that the Christ, the Lord, has been born." I said that would happen. I told Satan in the wilderness that one would be born who would crush the serpent's head. He's come. I told, through the great words of Isaiah the prophet, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." That's who he is. He's been born. Your Lord, your Master, has been born. I want you to go and tell them this. You're my spokesman, you're my herald. Don't embellish it, don't distort it, don't forget anything I told you. You tell them all this. Tell them he's been born in David's city, in Bethlehem. Yes, in Bethlehem. And where you're to find him is in a stable, and you'll find the baby swaddled in warm clothes, and he's there lying in a feed trough. That's where you'll find him. What an honor God gave to that angel to take that message. The first Christmas message spoken by an angel. When I get to heaven, after I've seen my Savior, after I've seen my mother and father and my wives, I want to see that angel. I want to see the angel that comforted my Lord in the garden. I want to talk to them in glory. So God told the angel exactly what to say. And then he told them to whom they were to tell it. He didn't send them to Caesar in Rome. He didn't send them to Herod, the king of the Jews. He didn't send them to Athens and the Acropolis and the Greek philosophers. He didn't send them even to the chief priests in Jerusalem. They weren't to go to any of those, to Caiaphas and Annas. He sent them to Bethlehem, David's city. He sent them to shepherds, to nobodies, to common people like ourselves, ordinary people, despised people, but the scouring of all things, the last people you would expect, that they should hear, the first people to hear that Jesus was born. And that was the angel's mission, that was the angel's duty. And of course, Gabriel went. He came from heaven. He came through the veil that just separates the present time, heaven from earth. And suddenly, there at the campfire, as the men told their raucous stories to one another, an angel appeared. He lit up the fields. There was a spotlight on him that was divine. And what did they do? These toughies, these scoundrels, did they make jokes? Oh, look who's come to join us. Who's washed your clothes then? You fancy him, Benjamin? All the dirty things that men who are on the lower rung of the ladder speak to one another? No, they didn't. They were living in the shadowlands of life without God, in that unreal world where men and women try to find some purpose in life. And here they were confronted with reality. For the first time in their lives, they'd lived in a fantasy world in which they said, I did it my way. That was their boast, that there's no God. That you just live and then you die and you're nothing, you get snuffed out. No hell to lose. The sort of unreality that Lennon sings about in his song. Let's eat and drink and be merry. Tomorrow we die. That's all that life has to offer to us. That is now what most people believe in the country. They saw this angel, this glorious being. They were blinded by his light, and they were terrified. The Authorized Version says, and they were sore afraid. They were sore. It hurt them. Their fear hurt them. They just put their arms around one another and trembled at that time. Such a wasted life, isn't it? To live without God. To live as if God never made us. As though God doesn't sustain and bless us. To ignore all the glory of God. We see these beautiful starry nights. The wonderful scene over Cardigan Bay and the sun setting. And the starlings doing all their acrobatics. In their murmurings, what a wonderful sight it is. And my Heavenly Father made that. The Lord Jesus made that. Without him was not anything made that was made. Who made it? 'Tis the Lord. Oh, wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. He made it all. And how can I know him? How can I know him for myself? How can I know God? Well, I'll tell you. By the Bible. Reading the Bible. and asking God to help you to understand it. Start with Mark's Gospel and read it through, and ask God to help you to understand and to bless you as you read it. To talk to people here who know Jesus Christ, people you expect, and ask them questions. To come here on Sundays, every Sunday, come and sit and listen, and preachers will explain how you can know God yourself, because to know Him is eternal life. The life of eternity, the life of heaven, is Jesus Christ. And they will tell you what Gabriel spoke to the angels. They will tell you about Jesus, who was born of Mary and lived in Nazareth and taught in Galilee and died on the cross and after 3 days rose from the dead. And after 40 days went to heaven and is coming again one day. And He is the one who looks after us and sends the Holy Spirit into our lives and gives us a desire to know God ourselves, to know Him as our own personal Lord and Savior. He's with us now, and He's speaking to you now. So don't be afraid. Don't tremble at the thought, me becoming a Christian, me following Jesus Christ, after my long life when I've not known Him and not confessed Him and not bothered with Him. Well, God sent Him to these shepherds. Surely God would send Him to you. Surely it's a good sign that you're listening and you can understand what I'm saying. And these words that we've been singing, they're not mysterious. I've good news of great joy. I've got good news for you, for every one of you. Hot news. December the 19th, 2021. You heard that God loved the world and gave His only Son to become the Savior of all who repented and turned from their sins and believed in Him. Unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He didn't say a great general has been born, a figure who can defeat the Romans and drive them out of the land and give us back our land again. No, not a general, not a rabbi who can preach then entrancing messages, not a scientist, a Savior. We need a Savior more than anything else. He saved us from the mess that we've made of our lives. He saved us from the guilt of how we've hurt the people who love us the most. What guilt we have. And He saves us from the guilt of that. He saves us from our addictions. He saves us from our weaknesses, from our lust, our greed, our bullying, our abusing, our bad language. He saves us from what is destroying us and will never satisfy us and give us the most unhappy future. He doesn't just teach us and wag His finger at us and frown at us when we do what's wrong. He saves us. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to save He came. And when we call Him Savior, we call Him by His name. He is the Savior. This baby was born for me. You know, if I saw a baby in a pram and think, oh, that's for me, pick the baby up, well, I'd be in locked up. I'd be a heartbreaker. What a stupid, wicked thing to do. You just can't pick up a baby. And I thought it was for me. This baby is for you. This baby becomes a boy, becomes a teenager, becomes a carpenter, strong and young and brave. He becomes the great teacher, the powerful miracle worker, the one who's stronger than death, stronger than demons, stronger than disease, stronger than any power in creation, this Savior. And he's for you is born this day, the Savior. He's a teacher who will tell you how you should live. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God." Wonderful words. Shakespeare never said anything as wonderful as Jesus. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." What wonderful words. And the most wonderful thing of all is that they're true. You know, the only reason we should all be Christians here, every one of us, is because it is true. He died to make atonement for our sins. It's true. He rose the third day from the dead. And it is true. He's praying, whispering our worthless names in the ears of his heavenly Father. He's saying, "Bring those people to Free Grace Chapel today. Speak to them. Change their hearts. Give them a new birth. Save them, Father." The Father sends the Spirit to work in our hearts. It's true, my friends. So these shepherds, they could go. They could quit the sheep. They could say, "They can look after themselves. We've got more important things to look after than sheep. There's a Lamb of God. And we want to see him." Are the things more important in your life than your work? Than your friendships? Than your hobbies? Than your sport? Than the money in the bank? Are there any things more important? Is God more important? Is Jesus Christ more important to you than these things? And then something staggering happened in the fields. God spoke in heaven to the rest of the angels and he said, "Off you go. Join Gabriel on the hillside with the shepherds." Whew. Off they went, an innumerable company of angels, and they landed there surrounding the shepherds and Gabriel, not hovering, standing, carpeting the fields and the paths outside Bethlehem. Everywhere you looked there were angels. You know, one angel, when John on Patmos saw him in Revelation chapter 1, he fell at his feet. He was overwhelmed. He wanted to worship him. And the angel said to him, "Only worship God. Don't worship me." And you were everywhere you looked. And then they began to sing. The choir of angels began to sing. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill." That's what they sang. They sang peace and goodwill to criminal sinners. What a day in their lives it was. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its rapture all abroad. And as suddenly they came, the angels left, the squadron back to heaven to receive more orders what to do for God. And what did they do? Did they shake themselves and think, oh, we've been seeing things, we've had too much wine to drink. They were embarrassed by being scaredy cats. And they started to laugh at one another. What was all that about? No. The taking of the veil from the unreal to the real world of God registered itself on their whole thinking, on their consciences, on their understanding, their minds. There was a revolution now in what was important in life. Let's go, they said. Yes, are we going? Of course we're going. We'll look after the sheep. The God who sent angels can keep an eye on the sheep for us. And off they went. I want you to make a decision this morning. I want you to go to God. Going to God is a movement of your heart as the Holy Spirit takes the word that I preached to you and applies it, nails it to your heart, enlightens your conscience, informs your mind about who Jesus Christ is, that he's the Son of God. And that you're to follow him. You're to come to him. You don't have to come to the front. The word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. It's the word of faith that I've preached to you, which you receive as the Holy Spirit strengthens you to believe these things. That is coming to Christ, that you give to God what he has given first to you. The impulse, the longing for reality. That's what it is. I want you to say, I want to know him. I want to know him. I made a mess of 2021. I don't want to make a mess of 2022. I want to know him. I want to know him myself. I want to know him in my life. And so they hurried off. And it was exactly as they said. They found a stable and they went in and there was a young girl and her young husband. And they tiptoed because the baby was asleep. It was just in the feeding trough, as they had been told. They heard him. They saw him. And then we're told, after they'd overcome the reality of this discovery, they went and told everyone what they had seen. Shepherds speaking about God. And that's what they did. They made widely known the saying which was told them, God's word concerning the Christ. And all those who heard it marvelled at the things that were told by shepherds. If it was one shepherd, then, you know, he had too much to drink. If it was two, they were having a delusion. But here was this gang of men, known through the whole area. And here they are, sober and serious. And shaking their heads when men laugh at them. What we're telling you, that happened to us, and there was something about the transformation. And for the rest of their lives, they never stopped speaking to people about the reality of the Lord Jesus. 30 years later, they went to hear him preach. And some of them were among the 500. who after his resurrection he met with in Galilee. This life transforming Jesus. They never wearied of talking. They told their children, they told Grandpa, tell us again about the day the angels came. I'll never forget it. And he tells them, and they know it all by heart. And most of all, that they were going to see him again, not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by, we shall see him, but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high. That's where I'm going to be with Jesus. You mustn't cry when I die. You can cry, but not in despair. Because if you trust in Jesus, you'll be with me. And when I get to heaven, I'm looking forward to talking to the shepherds too. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Our Heavenly Father, bless your word to us and grant that everyone here today shall come to know Jesus as their own Saviour and Lord and bow the knee before him and acknowledge him to be the King of Kings, their teacher, their shepherd, keeping them and guiding them, the Lamb of God who bears our judgment in his own body on that cross, that we might be freed from the condemnation of sin. And at last our eyes shall see him. We bless thee for the hope that's ours. May everyone here live by that hope and purify themselves as thou art pure. We ask in Jesus' name.